Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And in this beloved community, the fall of 2020, amidst the disruption of the pandemic and inspired by necessity, the co-founders and partners at Finn River established the nonprofit organization, the Chimicum Center. The Chimicum Center, working in partnership with land and farming opportunities, along with grassroots and organizational allies around the region, focuses on cultivating relationships, sowing sustainability, and growing a more vibrant and equitable rural community through land-based interconnection, arts and advocacy, and education. And we have with us today their executive director, Melissa O'Neill. Thanks for joining us today, Melissa.
Thanks for having me, Missy.
Gosh, I'm so excited to meet you. You are just a real game changer here. So you, as the executive director of the Chimicum Center, was an outgrowth of the Finn River. For folks who haven't been here as long, would you just tell us a little bit about the Finn River and then just wind us right to the Chimicum Center? How did that roll out? That's exciting.
Sure. Finn River Farm and Cidery, they have a really lovely space in Chimicum. Ironically, at the roads of Chimicum and Center Roads, which is where the name for the organization came from.
I know,
it's pretty clever. I think that they were inspired by the necessity and the possibility of food sovereignty, social justice, and climate action movements. And so began the Chimicum Center through our fiscal sponsor, a fiscal sponsor called Social Good Fund. And Chimicum Center was able to get started up through some support from some local philanthropists. And now we're leveraging grants and partnerships to continue with that work.
Yeah, you know, every industry, you would call nonprofit an industry, has language, and every entity has language that might not be as familiar to some of us. And there is some language in there that I thought would be helpful for us to understand more richly the meaning of foreign sovereignty. And then if you wouldn't mind the other three, I know some of us may know a little bit of our own meaning of social justice, but tell us a little bit more about the language around your mission statement.
Sure. I think that here's another term that is common, I think, more in like urban communities, but like a food desert, where you have people who live in spaces where they don't have access to healthy vegetables or fruits and healthy food. And so one of the things about food sovereignty, and especially in terms of how the climate is changing and how that impacts water and, you know, erosion and all of these different facets of the climate, how that impacts food. And it's really one of our basic necessities. So when we talk about, you know, how do we provide this really key thing to our health and wellness in communities and families, food is a major component there. So when you have food sovereignty, it is, you know, how do we provide for ourselves? How do we provide for our communities? And there's a lot of like local focus on food sometimes. And so some of the partners that we work with want to grow food. And they want to share it with their communities. So how do they do that and then you think about like how can they do that equitably if they are, you know, potentially from communities who are less served than the majority. So
thank you for defining that. And social justice, you know, folks have perhaps more common understanding of that. And we could almost do a whole show on that indeed. You know, I've talked briefly about that. Yeah. So you came out of the heartbeat of Finn River Farm and Cidery, the heartbeat, the center. And you mentioned a fiscal sponsor, which I think is really interesting. So do talk a little bit about, so you came out of a for-profit, and not to understate how Finn River was so invested in this way, it really embodied a need for an organization. So they've been really doing a lot of things in this arena for a while. Is that correct?
They have, yeah. And they have a lot of connections with farmers and farms and food access and land access.
And they I think that do, but it's different than what you're doing. Is that correct?
It is. And Finn River is a for-profit. Chimicum Center is a nonprofit. I think that the people that founded Chimicum Center have a lot of connections through the community because of their work at Finn River. And so their compilation of ideas. And just one of the people involved is Christy Kissler, who knows a lot of people and has a lot of ideas. She's like an idea generator. And so I think that in a way, it was a place to put some of these nonprofit ideas that could help benefit communities.
What a gift. What a great thing. So you have a fiscal sponsor. You mentioned, did you say Social Good is the name?
Social Good Fund. Mm-hmm. And they're a California-based organization. The executive director lives in Port Townsend, though.
So let's talk about that. Yeah. Social Good Fund.
What fiscal sponsors do is they basically provide, in a way, admin support. They do payroll and HR and all of these different pieces of the work that are kind of behind the scenes work, which allows nonprofits to then just focus on what they want to focus on. So for example, for Chimicum Center, instead of spending all of our time doing HR and payroll and admin work, the Social Good Fund provides that piece of the infrastructure so that we don't have to. So we can just focus on what we want to do in our communities. So it's actually this huge benefit.
So they're distinctly different. Like in my mind's eye, I thought angel investor, it's like some private party that wants to just give you money. This person actually is a framework where you're not spending all your time and efforts to build the silo that might be payroll or the silo that be taxes.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Are they also the funding behind your, that's what I was curious. Like, so you were funded by, how are you?
No, funded? What they basically provided the 501c3 into that 501c3, that nonprofit, rabbit hole. And they provide different services. They do have workshops where you can learn how to do fundraising. The local philanthropy is what helped Chimicum Center start up.
Got it.
So we have
spend too much time on them because we really want to talk to you about the Chimicum Center. Uh-huh. Sounds like I need an introduction to these folks to talk to them directly.
I can make that happen.
So before we move on to what the real nuts and bolts of what the Chimicum Center is really just targeting, I'm going to do a station ID and we'll check in on who Melissa is. So if you're just joining us, this is Everybody Can on KPTZ 91.9. And I have the privilege to talk to the recently hired, not so recent, Melissa O'Neill of the Chimicum Center. If you missed part of this, just trust you can find it on the podcast page of our website at kptz.org. So Melissa, how did you wind your way to the Pacific Northwest?
My family, I have a lot of family in the area and specifically in Port Townsend. So my grandma lived in Olympia, my mom and aunts and uncles were raised there. So we would always come back like this yo-yo. We would always come back. and so I came to visit my favorite aunt and uncle and we just stayed, never left Port Townsend.
And the work that you did prior to the Chimicum Center, tell us a little bit about the work that informs your vision.
Sure. For the majority of my adult life, I've been an activist in different facets. I worked a lot with nonprofit organizations, environmental justice organizations like Greenpeace and Rainforest Action Network. I also worked with human rights organizations like Students for Free Tibet and a group called the Ruckus Society. And it made me realize is that the connection between environmental justice and social justice, social and racial justice, is that there's an interconnection there. You know, you protect the environment to help keep the humans alive and all of the different connections of how people are impacted by climate change. And it really is, it's an intersection that's so, it's such an obvious connection between the two of them. So
you would think that it would be obvious. And some of us, but you know, it's not obvious what the solutions are to keep that interconnectedness well and healthy. And you know, when we talked before this interview, you had mentioned your work with Greenpeace. And I thought that was fascinating that you were the trainer of activists. And I just, that could be a show on its own. This, you are just have a body of history that will really be a good undergirding for this Chimicum Center. So I have this picture in my mind's eye of you, you know, out there training it, just best practices, because I know most organizations, especially if you have a history in a larger international, you're going to be bringing those best practices to good old Port Townsend. Thank you very much. So this is exciting. So what's on the docket? What is on the docket for the Chimicum Center? Give us kind of a real concrete example of something you have done, maybe under the name of the previous for-profit entity, but this is an example of what you want to see happen more deeply or more often.
Oh dear, let's see. So one of the things that we're really hyper focused on is food, and I talked about that connection with Thin River, food access. One of the really specific things we're talking about is the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund creates these community supported agriculture boxes, these CSA boxes for families. And so we are helping kind of feed into those boxes. We have a couple of farms that help provide produce for those boxes. And we were able through a grant to get, there was a group of people that wanted to just grow food and give it away. So we were, and they were volunteering their time. So we were able to get a little bit of grant money to help pay for them to do that, which has been really exciting. Because now they're like, we have, the space is better. We're trying to build a little bit of infrastructure for them to have a kind of a more robust area to work in, which can then lead to more CSA boxes for more people to have food and this very specific thing that we're working on that we need, really excited about.
That's a great example. And you brought in, now we were talking food. Now we're talking anti-racism. For the listener who may not have, they might be a little confused because you have a huge umbrella that you imagine serving. Let's give our listeners the website, and then maybe you could give us a list of those, and we'll target a couple other really good, rich areas. But so you have your hat over so much, and if folks want to listen or read about, what's your website?
Our website is chimacumcenter.org. So it's chimacumcenter.org.
And then if they wanted to reach you directly because they're inspired by something they hear today.
My email address is melissa@chimacumcenter.org.
Okay. Wow. Okay, listeners, you know how to get a little deeper, but for the moment, we want to understand, it's anti-racism, food sovereignty. What are some of the other mission or visions that the Chimacum Center is focused on? Because we really know more about equity is kind of like, that should be on every section of what you're targeting, right? So tell us more.
Well, so one of the primary things that the Chimacum Center does is it cultivates relationships and how we can help create more vibrant, equitable communities. And what does that mean? You know, so it really comes down to really basic things. It's affordable housing, it's food justice, it's community building, land access, arts, advocacy, wellness, education. There are a lot of hats. And I think that one of the goals is to weave into that whole, all of those hats is equity, and thinking about how do we equitably serve people who aren't traditionally served through the systems that exist. So people who kind of live on the margins of those systems. And so for Black and Brown people in the community, how do we provide a framework that helps them thrive is really the goal. And how do we create communities where everybody is served equitably? And that really is like a connection point. It's, you know, it is a relationship to relationship. And so, you know, you and I making this connection today, that helps, you know, both of our understanding on what we're doing and how we show up in this world. And then all of those connections together helping weave this community. I think it's Michelle Obama says that it's harder to hate people close up. If you have a connection point and you're able to talk to people and maybe have this recognition that even though we don't identify in the same way, how can we be connected? Yeah. How can we see the humanity in the other person? So,
You have a really great website for getting more information. And what I find interesting is that, you know, land equity, food equity, and then now you've got an arts component. So, you know, we do know that sometimes art can be an equalizing, kind of modality for expression. Mm-hmm. I know we're not going to have enough time to dive deeply into all these things, but touch a little bit on the art component, if you will.
I think that is, you know, you think about what feeds you and, you know, we're talking about food and housing and safety and really what feeds your soul, what helps you show up as your best self. One of the things is art. I mean, you think about how it impacts people in ways that aren't always like the priority in a society, but when you look at spaces where kids are, you know, if there are bright colors and bright murals, and how much that can inform, it can kind of impact how they learn, you know, just a really basic, I think it's one of the basic things, you know, it's as important as food and housing.
Yes. Well, Melissa, you know, unfortunately we are out of time, and I think I would really love to have a second part, because there are terms that, you know, that I just think many of us could do. The first thing is listen, right? And how can we listen if we understand? Well, how can we understand if we don't know the meaning of the language, especially if you and I have different versions of that meaning? Right. Anyway, save that for the next episode, my dear. Well, thank you for joining us today, Melissa. It was a delight, and I look forward to bringing you on again and having
part two. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, and thank you for listening in today. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is in the masterful hands of Nora Petrich. I'd also like to thank our office manager, Kate Ingram, and all the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and compelling conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. So now go out, get involved, and listen. Take care.